So far, we have clarified several important subjects in regards to different levels of realization in the essential channel. In the last talk, we spoke about the realization of the Supreme Knower, Supreme Person, where the innermost person merges with the internal knower, but the internal person still remains in his old position. I used to call that center inner etheric person, but it is perhaps more appropriate to call it internal etheric person, because after all it is the internal person. And we were contemplating how to gain a sense of orientation in that essential channel, not to confuse different centers, which is very easy to do. The next step, as most of you should be very well aware, is merging of the internal person, of the internal etheric person, with the Supreme Person. With the inner knower. Technically, he is merging with the Supreme Person, which is the unity of the internal knower and the innermost person. Internal person is the main center of the person, while the innermost person and the external person are his on one level they are his extensions, on another level they are in themselves separate centers that perform different important functions. But even when they are separate centers, they are still emanating from the internal person. So merging of the internal person with the Supreme Person is the most important event in the evolution of the person. And that in itself constitutes complete realization of the inner knower. There's still evolution happening in the inner knower, but here we have the inner knower actualized in his complete form, meaning he's complete, which is not in contradiction that he continues to evolve. And the primary direction of his evolution is immanent. He's evolving towards primordial I am. Since the absolute state for the inner knower has been already completely attained, so when the internal person merges with the Supreme Person, our experience of the inner knower is total. So it is a very important station in our evolution. The person merges, enters the inner knower, and that painful, disturbing, uncomfortable separation between the person and the internal knower is transcended. The external person himself is not merging with the inner knower, but that is not his purpose. He has a different role to play. How does the internal person merges with the Supreme Person? Again, it can happen spontaneously, without you knowing even that it has occurred, through grace, transmission, a certain spontaneity in your own evolution. And usually it is a combination of all these three. But it is also possible that the internal person will not merge with the Supreme Person, meaning he continues to be separated. That's why it's important to know what to do in order to facilitate that merging. But of course, first you need to recognize that the internal person is indeed separated. Because if you don't recognize it, and you are not identifying that fundamental discomfort of him being separated, you will not have an incentive, motivation to change that situation. And let's face it, majority of students are actually incapable of identifying these things. The question is, are they incapable because they just don't have potential to create that recognition? Or there is something in them lethargic? They lack that dynamic quality in their existence and in their intelligence to understand their experience. To understand the imperfections within their experience and to sense what it is that they can change. And of course, all that information is already provided in this teaching, but unless that information is taken seriously and somehow digest it within yourself, it is just that, an information. A concept. A set of concepts. Which you are not really seriously applying to yourself. It is only natural that everyone needs time to mature, to grow into deeper understanding. But often this is just taking too long. There's too much delay in that evolution, in gaining that understanding. Exactly, because there's something missing, something, that dynamic quality, that fire, that passion, that inquisitiveness, that interest, that fascination is missing. And it is your responsibility to activate these qualities. How to technically merge the internal person with the supreme person, you already know. This you should know because I have spoken about that subject so many times. The supreme person is lifting himself up from the Supreme Me, merges with the internal person or the internal etheric person, self-absorbs and falls back into the Supreme Me, pulling the internal person with himself. And therefore radically changing the position and location of the internal person. So that he can be absorbed in the Supreme Person. It's an interesting situation because the innermost person is actually reaching absorption first and the internal person follows. But it is not surprising considering the innermost person is by nature more internalized. That absorption of the internal person in the Supreme Person is not necessarily a singular event, because he may still separate himself from the Supreme Person. That's why we need to practice circular self-absorption of the Supreme Person in the internal person until he never leaves the seat, his seat in the inner knower. So now we have a high realization of the inner knower, which we incidentally call primordial knower. The base subjectivity is the primordial me, and the center of intelligence, which is the knower himself, is a unity of three centers: the internal knower, innermost person, an internal person. This is why you totally realize the inner knower with the whole of yourself. So in terms of the sense of orientation, in the essential channel we have the primordial knower, which is experienced at the bottom of the forehead, and we have the fundamental me, which is naturally still present at the base of his existence. Vertically. And there is a further deepening in that movement towards immanency, in the movement towards the primordial I am. So the realization of the primordial knower, primordial person, who is the center of intelligence of the primordial knower, is not the end of our evolution in that essential channel. In fact, it is a place from which we can begin a new journey, diving through the doorway of the primordial me into the primordial I am. Now, what happens to the external person? The external person ideally, because it is not all so straightforward, because it is quite possible that one may have evolved quite deeply into the inner knower, but somehow the external person has not been properly awakened or integrated. But in the ideal scenario, the external person has already experienced before, after the realization of the absolute knower, but now he is basically experienced on a deeper level. However, the external person, his presence, his activity is not constant. It comes into play when we are in relationship with the subconscious mind, or when we experience our human consciousness. When you are in deep meditation, in deep samadhi, the external person, etheric person, is forgotten. Because other dimensions of our inner reality becomes prioritized. And they are often experienced exclusively, meaning everything else is forgotten. Pure me of consciousness is forgotten, absolute state is forgotten, external person is forgotten, the mind is forgotten, only the inner knower remains. But of course we are humans and we are existing in dynamic consciousness where we have to use our mind, especially outside of meditation. We need to relate to the world. And then of course the etheric person is activated to perform all these functions, because without him you would be simply not aware that there is such a thing as a world outside of you. Now, one of the most difficult things to explain is that different shifting around of the thinking center. Who is the thinker? I have already explained a very interesting thing, that upon the realization of the etheric person, he is no longer just an extension of the internal person or the primordial person. He gains and certain autonomy. He becomes an autonomous thinking center, which is only natural, so that the primordial person can just surrender to the primordial I am and not bother about anything else. And all the relative functions of intelligence now are being taken over by the etheric person. The primordial person can think. And we have even a name for it called the innermost thinking. And the location in which that thinking occurs is the same location where is the primordial knower, meaning down there at the bottom of your forehead. The external person is thinking upwards, in the upper location. And there's something I will be still speaking about. He can think internally within human consciousness, or he can think within the subconscious mind, which, by the way, has also different location. And now, if you are clever and you remember, how the teaching was presented not so long time ago, you should ask a question: what is the role of that new center of the person, which is another emanation of the internal person, of the primordial person, which we called angelic person. Angelic person basically occupies the same place as the internal etheric person, as what before was the inner person, what before was the conscious me. Why do we need angelic person at all? The primordial person is thinking for himself, such as being engaged in deep contemplation, of the primordial I am, or contemplating how to dive deeper into the primordial I am. The etheric person is thinking thoughts which are more ordinary, connected to our human consciousness, mind and personality. Should he choose to think? So why do we need angelic person? In the past, we have explained it in this way, that angelic person is an extension of the primordial person, which allows the primordial person to be in communication with the etheric person and with the subconscious mind, of which the etheric person is meant to be a conscious center. But does the primordial person need to really communicate with the etheric person? Does the primordial person really need that extension of the angelic person? And the answer is, first of all, angelic person is not a constant identity. It arises occasionally. And there is a scenario in our intelligence where such a communication between the primordial person and etheric person does occur, and for that communication to happen, that extension is required, because the primordial person is just too far from the etheric person. So there's a need for a bridge. And this is something that you can particularly experience in deep meditation. You are absorbed in the primordial nowhere. Who is absorbed in the primordial nowhere? Primordial person is absorbed in the primordial me. And then within that space, you can have that innermost thinking, thinking which has no relation to the subconscious mind. True conscious thinking, the deepest level of conscious thinking, but then you may choose to communicate with the outer mind, the center of which is the etheric person. So you, as the primordial person, are in a certain kind of a dialogue with the etheric person via the extension of the angelic person. And these things are particularly tangible or easy to identify in deep meditation. So we have more or less three levels of thinking here. Innermost thinking within the primordial person alone, a dialogue of sorts between the primordial person and the etheric person, and thinking which occurs exclusively, autonomously with the etheric person, within the etheric person, because the etheric person is capable of his own internal thinking. It's quite interesting that somewhere at the end of this process, the external person becomes an autonomous center of intelligence. So all of that, in a way, complicates everything, but also simplifies everything. Because if you are pondering, who is thinking, from which place I'm thinking, and I'm speaking about those who are in deep absorption, not about those who are just initially experiencing the person in a very basic level. So if you don't understand all these different scenarios, well, you get confused. Here I'm thinking from the primordial person, location-wise, somewhere in that region at the bottom of the forehead. I feel more like I'm thinking from a higher location, which is the angelic person, having a dialogue with the etheric person. And then we have the situation where angelic person is deactivated, the primordial person is not thinking at all, just present, and the etheric person is thinking. So that center of thinking somehow divides itself into several compartments which serve their unique purposes. So if you are in deep meditation, you have access to the essential channel. You are not just a baby that is trying to identify the person. From which place are you thinking? What are the possibilities? It's very confusing. And as I said in the last meditation, if you are not confused, something wrong with you. Something suspicious, because it means that you are so confused that you cannot even recognize how confused you are. You have to be confused. In order to reach clarity. If you don't go through this confusion, the clarity that you think you've got is just an illusion. A superficial understanding which is fundamentally meaningless. So you have to be confused, but you have to embrace that confusion and use it as a material, as a fuel for reaching clarity. And in a way you need to enjoy that confusion, like it's a puzzle that you want to solve. It's exciting. And at the end of that, you know, come from that fog of confusion. There is a light. Everything is clear. That clarity does not necessarily manifest immediately. Perhaps gradually the fog is lifting. But the fact that that confusion is being gradually dissolved by clarity. So in this talk I have mixed up several subjects, such as how to reach the primordial knower, I touched upon a bit what happens to the etheric person, I spoke about in a new light, in a new context, about the concept of the angelic person, but also I pointed to that very crucial subject that the center of thinking becomes multi-layered. So before, when you were just beginning the path, not knowing who is thinking at all, and eventually you discovered, oh, the person is thinking. So you had basically one center, which is thinking. even though there's also certain complication there between whether the internal person is thinking or the external. But at that point we sort of refer to it as a one unit. But now when you are asked, after you have matured all these years on the path, who is thinking? And from which place are you thinking? You become again like a beginner. You again don't know. You know something, but you also become conscious of certain complexity here. That thinking can occur from several places. And that is fascinating, and that is beautiful, and that is so very interesting. And before you even get all the answers, or some of the important answers, you need to ask yourself these questions. Well, I sort of ask these questions for you, but these questions have to become your questions. Basically, I am suggesting you to ask certain important questions, and you need to identify them as the real questions that you have to ask yourself.